Wednesday and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Lord, a hand of praise, if you will. God bless you, Elder Copeland. We thank God for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. Meet and minister unto us underneath the skin. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do. Take your word and give it to us in such a way that we shall have understanding, power to practice the principles, and more especially give you the praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said amen. 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 Can you give the Lord another hand of praise? I'm not going to be before you very long. But I am grateful to God for this day and all the possibilities of praise due his name. I'm excited on this fifth Sunday. Our choir has met this week and been preparing some wonderful songs for us. And I'm looking forward to them sharing them with the congregation. I just want to drop a little nugget in your spirit. And it has to do with this issue called faith. So many of us need to operate daily in faith. We need to demonstrate to God that we are children of faith, that we know who and whose we are through faith. And that because he has given us his son, Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we receive him even as our Heavenly Father through faith, that it is important that we realize that we live, move, and have our being in him. Now, saying that, there are some issues that we deal with daily that faith can take care of. There are some problems we deal with daily that faith can take care of. There are some attacks from the enemy that we are able to overcome and to take the authority over through faith. But we miss the element of faith being a present force in our lives. Now, I just want to lift out one verse in your hearing, and I'll just kind of quickly go through the story. Mark 11 and 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. This is the story about the fig tree. Jesus is leaving Bethany. He's hungry. He sees a fig tree, has plenty and beautiful leaves on the tree, which suggests that there were figs on the tree. Even though the 12th, 13, and 14th verse begins this story, and it says that it was not yet the time for figs. But yet, when the leaves showed up on the tree, it suggests that fruit was already on the tree. For there were some species of fig trees that bloomed twice in the season, once in the early season and once in the latter season. And thinking this was one of the fig trees that bloomed in the latter season, thinking that there was fruit on the tree, because the Bible says in verse 12, he was a-hungered. They were hungry. So they got off the path and went to the tree because the tree was calling them by way of their leaves, advertising, we have fruit. So when Jesus came, he recognized that the tree was not fruitful. The tree was not fruitful. And because it was not fruitful, the reality was, because it was not fruitful, it pretended as though it had fruit by the leaves and had deceived folk. So the Bible says Jesus cursed it. No man shall eat of you ever again. You, in other words, you won't fool nobody ever again. Nobody who's hungry, looking for a fruit, looking for something to sustain them on their journey. You won't ever fool anybody else. And I said, that's a warning for the church, for us pretending and performing and not being real, advertising one thing with no possession or production of the fruit that we're supposed to bear. God is getting tired of us fooling folk who come through those doors hungry, who come through those doors weak, who come through those doors looking for help, who come through those doors thinking that this is the place where they can get help, only to get hurt in the process by saints playing like they've got a real relationship with God. They've got church going on, but it's not church that causes God to receive the glory and mend the good. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to understand that, Jesus curses that tree and moves on. Verse 20 says, the next day, next morning, Peter draws his attention and says, Master, the fig tree that you cursed, it's withered and dead. Jesus was trying to tell him, and it really was that yesterday. When I cursed it, it had no more usefulness to it. But they were excited that the tree heard him and obeyed him. But you've got to realize, verse 14, Jesus says, and answering, he said to the fig tree, in essence, you know, you will not fool anybody else. Now, that word in answering is intriguing because it confirms the fact that Jesus said the leaves were calling. That was advertising. See, a lot of times you can advertise without saying the word. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. You can pretend and perform without saying a certain thing. Just give the notion that you are what you are not in the flesh. And so when we go on, we discover that Jesus, again, is dealing with Peter's concern about the fig tree and his interest in wanting to know how that happened. But then we get to verse 22, and it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them," here it is answering again, all right, he says four words, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. And that's what I want to deal with this morning. First of all, he gives us a divine response to how to have the kind of faith that is able to do uncommon things. It amazed Peter and the disciples who had been with Jesus and watched Jesus perform all kinds of miracles, but yet he now speaks to a fig tree one day and the next day, which generally happens over time. The tree withers away and die, but it instantaneously happened by the authority of Jesus' word. The disciples want to know how this thing happened. Now, look again at the divine response of Jesus. He says, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. There are three things about this that is important for us to understand that Jesus' response revealed. First thing, those four words are in such a clear context that he made this word so, and you jot down notes, clear as to how they're able to do supernatural and wonderful things. When he said, "Have faith in God," he made it one clear. But number two, he made it concise. He didn't take a long time and drawing out how the process worked and all of the different angles and all of the different connections to the process. He simply said, "Have faith in God." Then thirdly, he made this word complete, because he says, "Have faith in God, period." Y'all missing all of this. Let me go back through it and help you understand. First of all, when he says "have faith," he's talking about the God kind of faith, or the faith like God. Why is this important to understand? Because we have many kinds of faith. We don't just have one kind of faith. There are many faiths. And so in order to understand that, we need to understand that Jesus was making clear that if you want to do godly things, have godly power, demonstrate godly authority, you must have the God kind of faith. Believers need to recognize that they must have the God kind of faith in order to do those supernatural things for God. You can't have faith in another arena and expect to do things in a different arena and think that they'll work. Your faith must be built up. Your faith must be strengthened and sustained in the arena you want to operate in. If my focus is in prayer, listen, and not in singing, my faith and everything else I have is going to be built up in the arena of prayer. I'll do great things, great exploits in prayer. But now, that might not do a thing in the world for my singing. If I were in the arena of singing and focused there, and everything that I did, my faith was upon developing my gift and sharpening my gift and all the rest of that, that's where the results of my growth and development would be, in that arena. Every arena where faith is going to produce fruit in that arena. Well, Romans 12 has already told us that God has given every man a measure of faith. It's not whether or not you have faith, it's where is your faith. And we'll deal with that a little bit more in the next part that I want to present to you. But he's talking about the God kind of faith. He wants to be clear about that. Have faith in God.
He wanted to be concise about that, because what you got to understand is you don't have to be long to be strong. When you got the faith to believe God for something, it doesn't take all day and all night. There are times when God moves upon your faith. When you want something from God and you have demonstrated your faith, because Jesus healed many and he said, according to your faith. Things happen because of your faith. God did certain things because of your faith. You're expecting God to open the door, make a way, do a miracle, this, that, and the other. How does your faith line up? And with those who have the God kind of faith, he can do things straightway, immediately, right now, in a hurry, faster than now, quicker than you can blink. He's got that ability to do that if you understand who you are, whose you are, and what God has said. Then he says, it's complete because, listen, if you put it in the right person, God is your source. God is the strength of your life. If you put it anywhere else, you cannot get the productivity from God when you've placed your faith in the wrong person. Have faith in God. That's so important to understand. You can't put your faith in your children and ask God to change it. You got to put your faith in God to change your children. You want changes on your job. You put faith in God to change your boss, change your situation, change your circumstances. You got to put your faith in God to create the changes that you're looking for. God is sovereign above all things, above everyone. If you want a difference to be made, place your faith in God. Listen to this. Because he controls and has the ability to conquer, change, and control any and everything, both here and in heaven and beneath heaven. So if you were going to put your faith in somebody, it would seem like you put your faith in God. Thank you, sir. Now look, that was Jesus's divine response. Have faith in God. But let's look at this again and look at the divine revelation that we have on this. Have faith in God. There are three things that come under this titled divine revelation, because you need to realize that when he says have faith in God, one, he's talking about discover your faith. Discover, have faith. It don't just mean to have faith, it means to discover where your faith is. I told you God has given every man a measure of faith. It's not whether or not you have faith, it's where is your faith. When Jesus was on the water and the men were there and the storms were raging and the winds were blowing and the water came in the ship and they wondered if they were going to die and perish, and Jesus had to ask them, where is your faith, when he calmed the raging seas, told the winds hush up, and made the waters lie down. Where is your faith? You got it. But listen to this. It wasn't in me. Because if it were in me, while I was resting, you would have known when I said, let us go to the other side, that if your faith were in me, we would not have had any problem that would have prevented us from getting to the other side, whether I was awake or asleep. So your faith was obviously somewhere else. And so what you need to realize is the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now what does that say to us? That our faith is somewhere. Help me for one moment and ask your neighbor, where is your faith? Because a lot of folks sit up here on Sunday morning and their faith ain't nowhere in here. It's not in God. It's not in here. They got to go on a discovery mission to find out where their faith is. But I got a helpful holy hint for you to find out where your faith is. Wherever you are the most productive, the most prosperous, wherever you have placed your priorities, usually your faith is right there. And when you look at your life and you see what's the best of your life and you discover it's not God, it's not the things of God, then you'll discover that your faith isn't in God. Now listen at this. There is good news, even though you discover where your faith is and is not in God. The next word says in. So what it says is, the revelation is, that we discover where our faith is. But in this tiny word, we also, not only after we discover our faith, we have the privilege of directing our faith. Somebody just missed that. You see, you have the privilege of putting your faith where you want. God gave it to you, but he left it up to you as to where you place it. If this were not so, remember, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He tells his disciples, have faith in God. You would automatically think that they already have their faith in God. Well, clearly, when Jesus said that, it made clear that they didn't. Because if they did, he would tell them, all you got to do is say it, because you already have faith in him. Now, listen at this. You have the power, and I'm talking to somebody here today, to redirect your faith. You, when you discover your faith and where it lies, you can direct it to the place it ought to be. Your faith can never serve you best outside of God. Your faith can never serve you best outside of. It might serve you good. It may even serve you well. But it'll never serve you best unless that faith is in God. Well, now here's the last thing. When you discover your faith and you direct your faith, the last thing you got to do is deposit your faith in God. Deposit your faith in God. Remember, you've got to do it. God's not going to force you to have faith in him. You've got to do it because you desire what he has said. Look at this word. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Listen, you have got to place your faith in God. You've got to make a concerted effort to put those things that are valuable the most to you in the hand of God. Why? Because you want God to know you want him to have your best. And when you want him to have your best, then you want him to know you expect his best in return. And faith is what brings all of those things to pass for us. You wishing, you hoping, you praying, and without faith, all of that's impossible. I don't care how much you pray. You can have a 21-day fast, 40-day prayer. You can have a 365-day fast and prayer and won't get nothing, because the Bible said without faith. It didn't say without prayer it's impossible to please him. It said without faith. It didn't say without works it's impossible to please him. It said without faith. Listen. And so when you begin to realize where God has placed faith in the realm of spiritual things, then you ought to prioritize your faith to be in the place where it profits the most, and that's in God. There are some things you've been calling on the Lord, praying to the Lord, asking the Lord to do, and they haven't gotten done. It's because you have not placed your faith in God. You've not made your deposit in God to say, God, I believe you. I believe your word. I'm trusting you. You said, trust in the Lord with all mine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge you, and you shall direct my path. I'm trusting you, God. Doesn't matter when he comes, as long as I put it in his hand, I know he's on the way. Whether he shows up today, tomorrow, or whenever, I know it's coming because God is not a man that he should lie. I trust him. That's the kind of faith that moves God, that stirs God, that gets God coming in a hurry. And when he comes, when you have that kind of faith in him, you've deposited that faith in him, he has the right to bless you greater than you even expected. Now, my brothers and my sisters, my question to you is, where is your faith? If it's not in God, and you'll know if it's in God or not, because if it's in God, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. You're living by your faith in God. You're trusting God to make a way. You're trusting God to pay the bills. You're trusting God to keep you holy. You're trusting God to keep you healthy. You're trusting God to watch over your children. You're trusting God for everything in your life. You are operating in faith because you've deposited all in God. And the more that you trust him, listen, you can have faith as a mustard seed. You know, it took me a little while when I was younger to understand that. And I was thinking, I'd seen a picture in the dictionary of a mustard seed in the Christian dictionary. And it was like a little bitty black speck, like a little piece of black pepper. Little small piece of black pepper, just a little spot. And I was thinking, man, from this little bit of seed, you grow mustard green? Now, that was phenomenal if it had produced mustard greens. But that little bit of seed produced a great big tree that birds could rest and nest in. The tree that was so tiny as a seed, you could barely see it with the naked eye. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. No matter how small your faith is, discover where it is. And if it's not in God, direct it to God and take that little bitty seed and deposit it in God and watch him cause a phenomenal growth to happen in your life. I don't care what folks say, they never thought you would be, never thought you would become. You got to let them know, I put my faith in God, and this is the product of my faith. He produced this because I deposited my faith in him. Listen at this. And because that little bit of faith, and I'm closing, that little bitty faith, the size of a mustard seed, is the God kind of faith. That seed, listen well, has the deoxyribonucleic acid encoded in it. But what did you say? I said it had the deoxyribonucleic acid in it. What? But preacher, break it down. It had the DNA of God in that little bit of seed.